From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we revel in the good old-fashioned ass-kicking of the Minnesota Vikings and look ahead to a huge matchup, huge, against the Chicago Bears. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Matt LaFleur got his guys ready to play.
We got the bad. We got
Samari Torre, buddy. Just fair catch that thing, man. Just fair catch it.
We got the ugly. We got
the Minnesota Vikings. U-G-L-Y. They ain't got no alibi. They ugly. What? They ugly.
They look like the Packers. They look like the Packers against some teams earlier.
Some other teams earlier this year. A little bit. Funny how that works. Banky, good to see you briefly while you were here in New York. Glad to see you made it back to Green Bay safely and in one piece. It was very lonely on watch party without you on Sunday night.
It looked lonely.
Don't ever do that again.
It looked very lonely. You know, I only yelled one time in the truck. It was on the touchdown, and everybody was like, shut the fuck up. And so then I did. But I got to watch the game. It was an incredible game. My clients were coming into the broadcast truck, and I'm literally watching the game. And the team in New York and Green Bay did an awesome job. And it was, you know, we had like 4 to 6 million people watch the broadcast. So, you know,
amazing.
Just a couple two, three million.
Absolutely. Kind of like, you know, Packer transplants every week. That's how we roll.
You know.
Also how we roll, we got to start with the hotness. There's a lot to choose from, so let's get to it. It's time for the hotness. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
There was a lot to choose from.
When you score 33 points, you hold an opponent to 10. There's a lot to choose from. But I got to say, Jaden Reed throwing up his hand mid-route to tell Jordan Love, yeah, I'm about to be open and score a touchdown, was pretty badass. Thanks to Ben Fennel for highlighting this the way he did. Let's take a look. Jaden Reed down the seam, making Corey yell in New York City. Look at this, down the seam. And look, boom, hand up. Throw it up, man. Throw it right here in the void. Touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the hotness. Absolutely love to see it. Let's get to some Packers news. Jordan Love, that touchdown. A couple others running into the end zone for a touchdown. Named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He is the sixth quarterback for the Packers all time to win the award. Rodgers won it a ton, obviously. Favre won it a bunch. Lynn Dickey won it one time. Matt Flynn won it once. So
one
he joins
time.
Illustrious company. Illustrious company.
Lynn Dickey won it
NFC
one time.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Oh, hey, man. Lord. That was the funniest shit I've ever heard.
Don't you belittle Lynn Dickey.
You know you're good when you and Matt Flynn have something in common. Ba-dum-tsh. Ba-dum-tsh.
Next up, we got Bo Melton signed to the 53-man roster.
He did.
Now, two call-ups from the practice squad, delivers both times, and gets rewarded. You absolutely love to see it because Bo Melton had a game on Sunday night. He was awesome to see.
How did the Packers do this? How do they do this? Okay. If we had a bingo card at training camp, we were like, you know what? Bo Melton, like even our nerdy asses and family night, we're not talking about Bo Melton. You know what I'm saying? And we talk about every single player that plays in the training camp.
we mentioned Bo Melton, but he didn't do much. Like, we talked about him as a member of the team who was practicing, etc. But, like, yes, we didn't.
Bo Melton looked like a second. He looked like wide receiver number two in that game. Bo Melton from the top rope. Lord.
How awesome is it that they can.
Nobody's winning.
They can
that.
Go down to their Nobody's practice squad thing. And get that dude.
That's crazy.
Come on. That's amazing.
This is crazy.
And the fact that they're down in that game, they're down what? Watson, no Wicks, no Musgrave. You're throwing to Samari Torrey at one point. I mean, and then comes Bo Melton and not only puts up 100, but gets in the end zone for the first time in his NFL career. It's just awesome, especially coming off the performance he had down in Carolina. You got something there. Talked about it on Daily the other day.
Well,
you got something in Bo Melton.
That's the other thing is the flip side of Bo Melton being good is how bad some – and despite the drop and despite not calling a fair catch, but Bo Melton being that good shows you how bad Samari Torrey is, and so, like, we need to get rid of him.
Well, funny you should say that, Corey, because Samari Torrey was placed on injured reserve yesterday. You can bet that he's not feeling too great. He hurt his knee, apparently, in the game and then had the horrific – fumble on the punt return attempt. So that will be the last we see of Samari Torrey this year. Going to practice today, looking at who's up, who's down. Really promising stuff with the wide receivers, with Watson, Reed, and Wicks all practicing. Now, that's encouraging, especially since Reed, as we saw, left the game on Sunday night, worried about that chest injury. But he was back at practice today. Wicks missed this last game. He was back at practice. And Christian Watson practice for the first time in what weeks? I mean, he has been not participate for the last like 2+ weeks, and he was out there today in a limited capacity. So who knows?
40 burger.
I'm not 40 ready.
Burger calling. If we get Watson and Reed, it's a 40 burger. It's over.
Let's go, baby. I'm all in on that. I mean, hell, it should have been a 40 burger on Sunday night. That's what's crazy. They scored 33. That should have been at least 40. But I digress. On the flip side of things, Elgton Jenkins and Preston Smith did not practice. Now, Smith did go down with an injury on Sunday night, but returned to the game, but he did not practice today. Elgton has made it pretty much a habit of missing Wednesday practices and then practicing later in the week, so I'm not too worried about that. I did want to take a look. The injury report literally just came out. Preston Smith is listed with an ankle as it did not participate. So, hopefully, just resting him, making sure he's right as rain for this showdown with the Bears. Finally, final piece of Packers news. Mentioned it on the YouTube channel here yesterday. Packers legend Ken Bowman passed away at the age of 81 in late December. The news was kind of broken/confirmed by his wife yesterday. Like I said, I made a video about it. I highly encourage everyone to take a look because, man, this guy... For all the legends that have come through Green Bay and been part of some really special teams like Bowman was, he does not get mentioned a ton in Congress with a lot of the Hall of Famers that were, you know, a big core part of Lombardi's teams. But, man, my favorite story, Bowman in Super Bowl I, that whole year he had played like in 4 games because he separated his shoulder. He had a shoulder injury in a preseason game. Barely plays all year. And then Curry goes down basically in like the second quarter of the Super Bowl. Bowman comes in with a bad shoulder, not only finishes the game, but at one point his shoulder pops out. And in the huddle, he just smashes it back into place against a teammate and keeps playing. Like, that's a tough SOB right there. And that's a guy who absolutely carried the G. And it's funny because, like, I've heard from – sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I've heard from a couple different people since his passing that I didn't even realize knew him, including some family members, because he was a public defender in Green Bay after his football career was over. So he was really ingrained in the community. I didn't know that part of it, but everyone.
Yeah, I knew some of that. I also
tough guy he was.
Yeah, I also think it's incredible that he lived to 81, considering he was such a tough player.
Right.
Like, football players from that era do not really – that's not a – so that's
– everything he played through and has
– good genes
good,
and,
some genetics
you know.
Are going on right there.
Yeah.
No doubt. So, shout out to Ken. Prayers to his family. Absolute Packers legend. If you can, read up about him. Cliff Crystal has a great piece up on Packers.com, basically about his time, obviously, with the Packers, but just in his life in general. A guy that, like I said, doesn't get as much shine as some of the other Lombardi Packers, but he absolutely should. Let's talk about the offense, Corey. Let's talk about Jordan Love, who is in complete control of this offense. You know how when, you know, you see shots of like a fighter jet in the cockpit and they got all the controls, right? And every time I see something like that, I'm always like, I wouldn't have any idea. Like, I can pretend like the Millennium Falcon, like I do, then they go to hyperspace and that's great. That's all pretend. It's like Jordan Love at the controls of a really impressive piece of machinery, which is the Packers offense. And he knows where the ball needs to be no matter what is thrown at him. The way the Vikings tried to get after him and were just completely rebuffed every single time. The way he knew exactly where his outlet was, whether it was Tucker Kraft in the flat, whether it's Malik Heath on a third down conversion where there's a blitz right in Jordan Love's face. I mean, it didn't matter. It did not matter what they tried. Love knew the answer to almost every single thing the Vikings threw at him. I mean, that's night and day comparative to the last time they played the Vikings. And it's probably the most kind of indication of his growth as a quarterback over the course of the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. So impressive.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, two things is that Aaron Jones, having Aaron Jones as a dump off is like the greatest gift
big
to this
time.
Offense. I mean,
big
there
time.
Were many plays where it was like, okay, I got nobody. Oh, Aaron Jones in the flat?
Here's Aaron Jones in the flat, right?
Hi.
Oh, and there he goes for a first down? Well, and that's the other thing, too. Jones being able to keep them ahead of the sticks in the running game. I mean, he had more explosive runs. Matt just talked about it. More explosive runs in that game than they've had all year. And the fact that even if it's not like gaining a first down, you're still staying ahead of the sticks more often than not. Like you're still in second and manageable, second and short, rather than, oh, it's second and 9 or second and 10 because he didn't go anywhere with the running game. Like Aaron Jones makes a monster difference, no doubt about it. And that
I
helps
do
the quarterback.
Think that there's something to, you know, comparing to last year especially, and I know we don't want to do too much of this, but if you compare the offenses, I think there's a couple things that I think are really compelling about this offense. One, you know, there's no baggage. Like, this is the offense we have now.
Right.
And there's no, and this is not hate on Aaron Rodgers at all, but it's just like Aaron Rodgers had Mike McCarthy's offense. He had all these offenses in his brain. And so there was a lot of, you know, taking the offense that we want with the offense that somebody, the main leader had. There's none of that anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So this,
right.
I really feel when you look at those comparison stats, it's kind of incredible because one, Jordan Love doesn't have to play as good as Aaron Rodgers to have stats that compare to Aaron Rodgers, which is really incredible when you think about it.
That's a really good point. That's a good point. And the fact that, Aaron did want it certain things a certain way, as far as how many times he talked about, can we have less motion? I want a static picture. I want to be able to see the defense prior to the snap of the ball and know where I want to go with the ball and how they're lining up and matching up and things of that nature. Whereas to your point, now they're just running the system. Like, and that's whatever it is, like good or bad, depending on how you feel about, I guess, Aaron Rodgers, but the production's there. You cannot deny the production over the course of the last like X number of weeks. I mean, basically since the last Minnesota game, really. It's fun to watch. This is an offense that seems to be hitting its stride, hopefully at just the right time. Obviously, one more game to go and hopefully a postseason game. But, this offense is really starting to become, not ready to say a juggernaut, but a real problem for defenses. No question.
I mean,
big part of it is Jordan Love.
100%. There is a, looking at the snap counts, which I know everybody looks at these. You know, we still have a Ryan Runyon situation that I'd like to get resolved until I'm going to call us a juggernaut. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's clear that, and I don't know what it is. You probably know better than me. Is it that Runyon is a better run blocker and Ryan is a better pass blocker?
No, Ryan's
blocker,
a better. No. Exactly.
Vice versa. Right?
Ryan's. And they asked Stanovich about it last week, and Stanovich didn't even hesitate when asked what Ryan needs to work on. He was like, pass protection. Like,
which
they love
know,
him in a
that's
run
a,
game.
That's the problem with that is that's a tell, right? And that I'm surprised that the Minnesota Vikings didn't key on that more because it's literally 50-50. It's like 62 to 42 snaps. So No, sorry. 42 to 39 snaps. So it's more close to,
I was gonna say, it's pretty
50-50,
close.
Which, yeah. You know, on the ratio, that can't be good. Like, the fact that we are still kind of trying to figure that out is not good for the offensive line. Now, clearly it didn't make a difference in that game. But, you know, I'm worried about the weakness of the tell. And we haven't, you know.
I don't think if it was a monster drop-off.
Do they really have a smart
off.
Defensive coordinator?
Well, the Bears have been playing very well. They're very good on
the
defense.
The Bears do, but the Vikings don't.
Yeah. Well, no, the Vikings defense coming into that game was fourth in DVOA. I mean, they were pretty damn good. They've been humming. So the Packers taking them apart is a real statement in their house, no less. I mean, that's not inconsiderable, you know?
The Vikings are such trash. Like, just can we take a moment to talk about, like, they have the trashiest announcer. They have the trashiest stadium. It's great, but it's trash. It's so, you know, you said this last week, I think. They're plastic.
Yeah.
They are the most plastic team in the NFL. They're not even a real NFL team.
Correct.
You can't convince me that they're actually a real NFL team. I just not buying it.
I'm right there with you, man.
The only reason they're in the North is because they're in Minnesota, but you wouldn't know it because they're in a dome.
They're in a damn dome, exactly.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
Like, do you have...
They're just so plastic.
Like, the perfect kind of counter to the Vikings is the Bills, right? Because the Bills play in an environment that is just as foreboding, right? It's just as cold and awful and miserable as Minnesota, like, weather-wise. But the Bills are building a new monster huge stadium, billions of dollars, but they're playing outside because that's who they are. That's their identity. The Vikings... are like, oh no, we have to put a dome over the top of the football field. We're in the North, but we're in Minnesota. It's cold. You're such fucking plastic nonsense in Minnesota. The Vikings, as I said, when your trophy case is empty, this is it. You're just a bunch of crybabies. That's all you are.
I love how Lucas just says I'm full on vibes and your stats, and I just brought out snap counts. There is nothing more nerdy in this world than snap counts, bro.
Why are you reading the chat? That's what I want to know.
I didn't. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Just joking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Like Jaden Rodgers, Reed is special, joking. Corey. Jaden Reed is special, Corey.
I put this tweet. Jordan Love to Jaden Reed forever.
Oh my God.
Like forever. Wow. This is one of the most exciting duos that since Rodgers to Devontae, let's be real. This is gonna be some special sauce.
I mean, imagine if he could ever get on the field together with Christian Watson for a stretch.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Well, and Dobbs. Like, so does that make – is Reed the slot in that situation?
And Musgrave.
Like,
think about
it. Is Dobbs the slot in that situation? Like, as Reed comes up, where does Reed fit in?
Exclusively. Reed will be slot but they'll play him outside
right
too,
now.
You know?
But, like, in 3 years, right, where
– right.
Reed's got to be your number one,
here's
right?
Here's the best part. You can mix and match, and it does – like, there's no way to tell if you're a defensive coordinator. That's what I was about to say. Like, if you're a D coordinator – who are you keying on when they get healthy? Like, hell, even when they're not healthy, who do you key on? Like, there are so many different dudes that can hurt you in so many different ways. I don't know how you start to plan for this offense. I love it. I'm, dude. Jaden Reed is one of only two rookies in team history to post 50-plus receptions, 500-plus receiving yards, and 6-plus receiving touchdowns in a season. The other Packer to ever do it in his rookie year was Billy Houghton in 1952.
Will he pass Billy Houghton's stats can he pass some of those stats?
Oh, well, I mean, that's it's saying like 50 plus, 500 plus, blah, blah, blah.
No, I understand, but I wonder if he passes Houghton's stats, because that would make him, like, you know what I mean?
I mean, here's the thing. He's already broken Sterling Sharp's record for receptions in a rookie season. And he did it in 16 games, and he did it even after missing a game in week 15. So, Jaden Reed, pretty damn special.
He's helped by a transition, a Christian Watson injuries and
yes,
the fact that all we have is rookies. But yes, still kudos, right? Like in a pile of bodies,
he's had opportunities.
Jaden Reed
is
special. Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. I wonder, would Aaron Rodgers have thrown to him? Would this hand signals been a problem? We'll never
know. Everybody wants to get on me about this hand signals thing, but we talked about it last night at the Patreon happy hour. And you know, I really think the hand signals thing was more of an indication of an old man trying to not teach people things in a situation
right.
where if you don't teach people things, you're not going to be good. And
well,
I talked
you're not
about
getting the best
this,
out of
actually,
your guys.
Exactly. Yeah. I talked about this last year where me as a business owner, you know, if you have younger staff, hey, guess what? You're going to have to be more patient. You're going to have to be more willing to accept certain risks. You're going to have to be more, you know, forgiving, and you're going to have to take time to teach people things. And you can't come in and go, well, you should just have this.
You don't know it? Well, then I'm not throwing
it
to you.
It's an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. And, guess what? Now you're not doing that, and now you don't have a good offense. Yeah. So I do think there is something to that last year, and I know I belabored the shit out of it, but it's still, there is something to that. And this team, I said this on Twitter, this team proves that there was something to that, right?
Well, it proves that like, when you strip away all that bullshit and just run the offense, you can be pretty damn productive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's any question of that. I mean, the proof is in the pudding on the football field right now. Finally, on the offensive side of the ball, Tucker Kraft is breaking the third round curse, ladies and gentlemen. We all know Brian Gutekunst has had a rough go of it in the third round. But, man, this kid, and let me say, Tucker Kraft, and I don't think this is talking out of turn. I don't think this is hyperbole. He is easily the most improved player on this football team.
Oh, yeah.
From what we saw this summer and even like the first 5-6 games of the regular season. Comparative
he's
to what
he's doing
now. He's
the one who went in motion and couldn't block anybody. And
couldn't
now
block
he's
anybody.
Like a blocking fool.
Now he's on the edge, taking on defensive ends, sealing them and allowing Aaron Jones to get outside. Like, this
it's
cat
crazy.
Has come to play, and he has elevated his game nearly every week. And finally, and Corey, you missed it, but there was a moment on Sunday where he was in the left flat, and he was racing up the sideline, and there was a defensive back in front of him, and I was literally saying, don't you do it! I was ready
Don't
for
hurdle.
Him to try and hurdle someone, and he finally lowered his shoulder and just took care of business.
He's still going to hurdle.
It's coming. Yeah, it's coming. There'll be another one, no doubt about it, probably Sunday. But as Al pointed out in his Confessions of a Polluted Mind this morning, he actually finally stiff-armed somebody. Like, he took someone to the ground. He took a defensive back and just said, sit the down. Dude bounced off the turf at US Bank Stadium. He got like thrown down so hard by Kraft. So it's just good to see him finally like playing the role of tight end in the NFL. And he's breaking the third round curse. Absolutely. Let's talk about the defense, Corey. Talk about Joe Barry actually sending some pressure. Who is this guy? At one point I said, what have they done with the real Joe Barry? He sent Keyshawn Nixon on a delay blitz? What? Like,
it's weird.
Which got home, by the way. And
well, Quay Walker blitz. That
the
was
Quay Walker
sick.
Blitz.
I loved that.
Amazing
that
work up the middle. And I love.
There should
Quay's
be two Quay Walker blitzes every game. Every game there should be.
Every game. There should be two Quay blitzes every drive. Like,
I don't
that
understand
man
that.
After
like
the QB.
Yeah. Well, did you see the controversy though?
Uh-oh, there's a controversy? Apparently, with the Packers? No.
Apparently, Joe Barry was given a game ball, and the Packers didn't show it.
I saw that. Justice tweeted it out for somebody's eagle
That's
eyes.
Kind of interesting.
Because they have the cuts. They have the edits, right? And it's like he's giving out game balls. And then they jump, cut, and at one point, Joe Barry's standing there without a ball in his hands. And then jump, cut to Matt giving somebody else a game ball, and Joe Barry has a ball in his hands.
Like, is that who makes that decision? Is that a Wes Hodkiewicz decision? No, he's
no.
No, is that a,
it's not
is
West.
That a Duke Bobber decision? Where does the controversy live? That's what I need to know.
That's a great question. Is it Duke? I suspect it's Jason. I suspect Wallers makes that call because Wallers knows he doesn't want to put, like, you know how they talk about coaches and you want to put your guys in a position to succeed. Well, Jason doesn't want everyone at Packers Digital to have to like see a ton of comments on you know, Twitter or what have Instagram or whatever.
I mean, with like, that's not really Joe supporting
Perry.
Your coach,
you get
though.
Joe but Perry. This, like, you know what I mean?
But does they, that they telegraph? But that. But then okay, so I'm gonna take that one step further in this little. See, Aaron Rodgers started these controversies, so we might as well keep them going here. So does that telegraph to the fan base that hey, I'm gonna cut Joe Barry out of this because that means that Joe Barry is gonna get fired?
No, it just means they don't want to deal with all the negativity around it. That's all. That's it. That's it. And I get it. I totally understand it. As someone who has to wade through a lot of toxic shit every time the Packers lose, I am totally in support of that decision for everyone at 1265 Lombardi's mental health. I'm all about that life. I totally get it.
But if you're Joe Barry, don't you kind of feel bad?
No, okay, you think Joe Barry's not on Twitter. He doesn't care. Come on.
He's on Twitter.
Joe Barry's going to get done with this season. He's going to go on vacation. He's not going to give a shit about anything anybody on Twitter has said. He doesn't care. If he gets fired, he gets fired. He'll go live a good life. He does. Please.
I mean, here's the thing. If we put up a 40 burger against the Bears and we limit them to 6 points, and then we get in the playoffs, and then we beat the Dallas Cowboys, and then we get in the playoffs and we lose to the 49ers. Does Joe Barry keep his job? I feel like yes.
No. Nope. You can't convince me otherwise.
No way. I feel like yes.
And by the way, Corey Behnke, I'll have you know, there's a chance the Packers get the sixth seed and end up going to Detroit. That's still in play. Like,
oh, really?
There's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at these standings and it had us in the seven. I'm like, oh dear, we got to play the nine.
Well, yeah,
which I would
the
love
most
to
likely,
get that monkey off
most
our
likely
back,
is so the seven, nice. but. There's still a chance they could be in the sixth seed.
Let's be real. There's still a chance we play down to the Bears, right? So
yep, and lose that game and not get in the playoffs at all. I very much agree. Entirely possible. So we'll just keep talking about the defense, and we'll talk about Preston Smith. Have a game, Preston Smith. When you're just owning their best, like, offensive lineman, really, and clearly their best tackle, and creating that sack fumble at the end of the first half allow the Packers offense and Jaden Reed to get in the end zone and go up another touchdown. That is such a huge swing. It is such a monster play by a dude who is just, you know, the model of consistency. He's a guy who doesn't get a ton of sacks every single game, but he's certainly down in and down out working his ass off. And that work was there for everyone to see on Sunday night. He just owned Darisaw pretty much for that whole game. And what's so funny to me is they didn't really do a lot to try and counter it. Like, they called some stuff to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands a little quicker, but anytime it was like third and long or like second and 20 or whatever, like, they kept leaving him out there on an island. And I'm like, you don't want to give your tackle who's clearly struggling here a little help? I'm sure Preston says thank you.
Yeah, you know what's crazy about the Vikings game is that I really did feel like our defensive line was that good going into the season and that we were going to be able to take over games and not have it be a linebacker secondary kind of workshop. It's interesting, and I wonder how much of that is because of Joe Barry's play calling, not to belabor this, but I wonder how much of that is his inability to blitz, his inability to call blitzes, right? Or his inability to, you know, just his bad. He's clearly not a good play caller, right? We've talked about, like, is he actually educating guys? No one knows. Right. And then he's clearly not a good play caller in situational football. So what's the difference? He's got nothing to lose now, and he thinks he's going to be fired. So why didn't he just take that mentality since he got here?
Yeah. No, well, that would be nice to know, right? I think, you know, the only thing I can keep coming back to when I talk about this thing is the game plan on Sunday. It's like, clearly, the last couple of weeks, they had been playing so much man, a ton of cover one, right? Because they had Stokes and Jair out there, and you thought, okay, we've got our man corners back, so we're going to play more man. Well, those guys kept getting beat. Jair included. And so you get there to Sunday night and you got Ballantyne and Valentine out there, and they played almost exclusively some kind of zone. Now, it wasn't always the same, like some cover three, cover six, what have you, but it was almost all zone. And so he judiciously decided, like, okay, we are going to take advantage of this young quarterback, the rookie in the first half. He couldn't see blitzes coming. I mean, the Walker timing is great, but, like, there are some tells there where, okay, there's probably a blitz coming. Like, you've seen Jordan do it the second half of this year, where he uses his cadence to get you to commit. Oh, I see you trying. You're getting ready to blitz. Well, now I'm going to change protection. I'm going to change a play or a route. Hall couldn't do any of that. So, and I talked about this with Camille on Carry the G and MKE this morning. It was finally an instance where Barry's defense did what it should do against a young, inexperienced quarterback. Like, but 100% what should have
what
happened
took so
against
long?
Tommy DeVito.
Why are we seeing...
I have no idea.
Why are we seeing David Tepper throw water on people or throw his drinks on people, but
drink
it's not an
people,
arcing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Maybe Matt LaFleur had something to say. That's all I can think of. Like Matt said, he was going to be more involved on the defensive side, the meetings, what have you. Maybe Matt said, let's get after it a little bit more. Like, because look, it's not like they blitzed a ton. They still weren't like crazy percentage wise as far as the blitz goes. But
no, but at the end of the day,
they judiciously used pressure against a young
quarterback.
We have
more money tied up in our front seven than anywhere else on our team. So if our front seven does not get it done, we fucked.
Yep.
That's how we built this whole thing. So it's like, what the fuck? It's like you saw that against the Vikings finally. You saw it in the first game of the season, and you saw it in this last game.
Sunday night.
Other than that, you haven't seen it.
No, you saw it in Detroit. You saw it against the Chiefs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they owned up front. But then teams saw that and went, okay, we're just going to do these outlet passes. We're going to RPO with our quarterback. And, I mean, the Bucs just, like, took advantage of zone and matchups against the inside backers all day. You know, and as we know, Barry doesn't adjust. So, you know, if you have a good game plan, you can take advantage of him initially with a quarterback who at least knows what the hell he's doing. The Vikings didn't have that. That's why Sunday's game is so interesting to me because Fields is playing much better than he was in week one.
Well, and the biggest problem that our defensive line has only overcome in a couple of games is to be able to contain someone like Justin Fields, right? So we have a good job. We do a good job of rushing. We do a bad job of containing most times this season. There have been outliers, but
I mean, Rashawn Gary, where have you been, buddy? I mean, Preston Smith having the game of his life over there. You would think, okay, that should open up some opportunities, but Rashawn's been awfully quiet here for a bit. Like, he has got to come to play, and he cannot do what he always does and try to go inside on these tackles, leaving like wide open swaths. We saw that against DeVito multiple times. Like, he has got to be disciplined on Sunday against Justin Fields, or they're going to have a field day. Like, zero doubt about it. Finally, on the defensive side of the ball, Jaire Alexander. How does he fit? How does he fit here? Because, like I said a little bit ago, I mean, they played a ton of zone on Sunday night, and it was effective. Now, very different opponent. I get that. DJ Moore has played well down the stretch for the Bears, and I suspect, you know, a lot of people will probably expect Jaire to follow him, much like Jaire did in Lambeau against Justin Jefferson last year. I think there's some validity to that, and I think we'll see some of it. But I also think there's going to be plenty of times where he's got to play zone and he's got to come up and tackle. Is he going to be that dude again? Because the ball's in his court. You know, I know there were some quotes coming out of the locker room today. You know, he expects to play on Sunday. He wants to be in Green Bay next year. Like, he is on board, right? So now I need to see it on the field. Because, look, the Packers.
I mean, I
kind of
feel like you will.
As much patience as they could until they decided they had to suspend him. For whatever was going on behind the scenes, which we still don't really know. But now the ball's in his court to come and be the player that they expect him to be, given that they have made him the highest paid corner in the game. You know, he has got to show up. And I hope he does. And I really think he will.
I feel like he will. Like, I really feel like he will.
Yeah. I mean, we need it. We need it. Need it. DJ Moore is no joke, man. He's a good receiver. Let's preview this Bears-Packers game, shall we?
You know what's on the line for this game? Not just the playoffs, but, you know, the Bears' decision at quarterback is on the line for this game.
Yes, it's crazy. I was thinking about that today. How different are the vibes in Chicago, right? He comes off that game against Atlanta. The crowd at Soldier Field is chanting, "We want Fields," right? They want the crowd, the fans are telling you, "We want this kid to be our quarterback," right? Now you fast forward to Sunday. Say he goes into Lambeau and like puts on a show, right? I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a little tougher than people maybe expect. But let's say he does, right? He comes in and put on a show. You have the first overall pick. You got two really good quarterbacks at the top of this draft. Like, that's a real tough spot to be in. But on the flip side, if Fields goes into Lambeau and just stinks up the joint, right? Like, he has played better. I'm not going to say he's been playing great, but he's certainly played better in the second half of the season, right? If he goes into Lambeau and just, like, has a Jair pick six, right? It gets takes, like, five sacks, and they don't score more than, like, 10, 13 points. Well, then I think the die is cast. It's just weird, to your point. Like, there's, for the Bears, there's so much, even just narratively, riding on this game and fan sentiment and kind of pressure from the city of Chicago and their fan base one way or the other.
Like, if the Bears were actually smart, here's the crazy thing, okay? If the Bears management,
you're talking about the quarterback position, you're talking about the Bears, and you're talking about smart all in one line.
Yeah,
that's like, a lot. That's
I just think it's funny. Like, they take our sloppy seconds all the time, but they don't learn anything from us. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that is weird, right?
It's so weird.
The Vikings are the same way. Right.
They don't learn. They just take our shit. It's like, oh, here, your cast offs. We'll take them. We love this. Ha ha ha. We're going to get some marketing dollars and some engagement on this clickbait. But
I guess
what's crazy to me is if they were actually smart, they would still draft a number one quarterback in the draft and play Fields next year. That is how you get ahead in the quarterback game.
What's so funny is that there is some sentiment for that in some of the actually.
That's what
the
they should do.
I would be afraid of that. The Packers, the Bears fan base, there is a kind of very quiet section of the fan base that wants exactly that. Now, contractually, that might be tough, but I think you're right. Like, as tough as it might be, you've got so much capital. The Bears have tons of free agency dollars, tons of draft picks. I mean, it makes sense. But
that's the thing.
The Bears,
like, the dumbest thing they could do is trade Fields, okay? A guy they know what they have.
And start a rookie.
Right?
And start a rookie.
And then
right
start
away.
A rookie. Right.
Yep.
Like, if there's one thing you should learn from the Packers is do not start your rookies in the first year that you draft them.
The problem is, okay, and this year's draft class is like a perfect kind of like, I don't want to say Rorschach test, but like an A-B test where you look at, you know, Bryce Young in Carolina, and he's had a horrific year, except when he's facing Joe Barry. But he's had a horrific year, right? And then you look at the Texans, and C.J. Stroud has been lights out. And you've got to think Carolina probably has some buyer's remorse, etc. But like, Stroud played right away and has looked really good. So the temptation, if you're the Bears, kind of get it. Like, if you feel strongly about whoever you're picking,
true,
being able to come in and replicate that success. But that's the problem, right? It's like, you're counting on, you're putting a lot
outliers
on the line.
I
by
think
doing
those
that.
Are outliers, too.
That's my point. I
like,
very much
agree. I think historically in the NFL over the last 30 years, players play better when they sit on the bench that first year. I mean, I know we know that in Green Bay, you know?
Look at Mahomes. Mahomes sat his first year. Right, he had that one start at the end of his rookie season, but he sat that whole first year, and I think that helped him. I really do. You know, I agree with you, but again, it's the Bears and it's the quarterback position. So whatever the worst option that's probably
and the biggest problem in the NFL. Let's be real, right? Is and why we don't have this problem. It's something that we actually don't have. It's that all of these owners, 31 owners. They became billionaires, and they think their shit does not stink, and they think they know everything about everything. And so they meddle inside of all of pro football. Like, this idiot in Carolina, he is the stupidest manager. He is
the new Dan Snyder. I love
he
that.
He is.
The NFL got rid of Dan Snyder.
He's
and
a
David
moron.
Tepper said, I'm here for you.
Hold my beer.
You need a new village idiot. I'm right here. Like, what
I mean,
fucking moron.
And I also think, like, it's bullshit that he wasn't suspended, by the way. He should have been suspended for a game, by the way.
How are you going to suspend an owner? Like, I get it, but
Just yeah, don't let them show up in the building. You're thing. The NFL. You can do whatever the fuck
yeah.
you want.
Yeah, they did it to Snyder. Yeah, I get you. But
300 grand like, is nothing. 300 grand to that it's guy like is like money. $10.
Nah, that's, that feels like a lot.
Like, what it's a like douche. Especially bucks. Throw. Here's the thing. Here's where, you know, the shield.
No.
There's an erosion of the shield when you throw things on fans.
All we have is a, what, 5-second video clip. I have no idea what was said. I have no idea what provoked him to do that. I understand that, but there are certain things that could possibly have been said where I'm like, okay, I kind of understand it. If that happened,
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Like, but
there are some lines that could be crossed.
If there's one thing protecting the shield means, it means you do not publicly shit on fans.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of important.
I totally agree.
Like, he eroded his own brand in a really bad way. Like, I mean, Carolina, real quickly. Like, oh my God.
I mean, his brand shit already, but now he's made it even worse.
Yeah, it was,
like,
it
no,
was trash, but.
No doubt about it. Look at this Bears-Packers games. The Packers, Corey Behnke, are 3-point favorites over the Bears. Now, if you buy into if you buy into the whole, I'm telling their defense is legit. Like, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised at
all.
Did
they see week one?
Yeah, well, it's a very different world. We're not living in week one world anymore. We're living in week 18 world. It's very, very different.
Yeah, so
world.
Instead of what do we did? We did, what did we do? We did a 30 burger. So it was like 30.
38.
33. 30,
well, 38,
38
but
to what?
Seven of that was Quay Walker on a pick six. So, you know.
38 to what?
Like 20 something. I don't remember.
Yeah, so instead we're going to put up a 40 burger, 40 to 6, and then that'll really show how much better we got and how much terrible they got.
And how awful they are. I get it.
If we put a 40
by the way, the Bears,
you know, be nice.
The Bears have not won at Lambeau Field since 2015. Do you remember the game?
What?
Dude,
I started LiveX in 2015. That's crazy.
Do you remember? Do you remember which game it was? Jay Cutler was the quarterback.
No.
It was the Thanksgiving night game where they honored Bart Starr and Brett Favre.
Oh, when it rained?
That miserable rainy night on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We lost that game. I wouldn't have won.
Are you crazy? Yes.
Me if we lost that game.
Yes. Yeah, yes, they lost that game.
And I wouldn't remember.
That game
I
was awful.
If you would have said, did the Packers win or lose on that game, I would have said win. So there you go.
That was the last time the Bears won at Lambeau Field. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I love it. I absolutely love that. Now, as I was just saying, the Bears defense has gotten very, very good. Like, very good. Since week 11, they have held quarterbacks to a 61.5 passer rating. And that includes two games against the Lions, who have been, like, marching up and down the field on pretty much everybody, except for the Packers. But
not us.
Like, that's a legit defense. That's a defense that could give you some real problems. And obviously the trade for Montez Sweat is kind of like the kickstarter for this turnaround on the defensive side of the ball for the Bears. Their defense is legit. Like this is a tough task for Jordan Love and company. I mean, not that I don't think we got something for him. I think we do. I'm just saying it's not going to be.
I mean, their defense is as legit as our offense is legit, I feel like.
That's correct. And that's why this is going to be so much fun. It's kind of eerie how their defense has ascended pretty much at the same time and rate as the Packers offense. Like I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun game for that reason, among many others. Let's get to our Deion Sanders quote of the week. Deion, even though, you know, Colorado hasn't played in a long time, he's always got something to say. Let's take a look here. Deion saying, he was talking about, you know, how hard things were and how, things got, we're so successful early, and then things got tough during this first season in Colorado. The same thing that makes you shine will show your blemishes, Corey. And I for one totally agree. You know, as bigger and bigger as Cheesehead TV grows, more and more people realize what an idiot I am. So I very much understand.
It goes
that.
To, it's something I've always said too, or not, I haven't made it up, but I've said it and I agree with, which is, you know, your greatest strength can sometimes be your greatest weakness. It's very similar mentality.
The more that makes you shine, I'm going to show your blemishes, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to Blogosphere. Let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
Do, 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 madness this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, your favorite person on earth, Aaron Rodgers, had something to say about this Packers-Bears game on the Pat McAfee program yesterday. We're not going to talk about the other stuff he said.
I didn't even see the other stuff. I retweeted the good stuff.
I retweeted what we're about to show. And absolutely love that Aaron Rodgers said this, because they were talking about, you know, the Packers-Bears game and the rivalry, the quote rivalry. And Aaron says, if they can't beat us, is it a rivalry? And yes, he used us. And I love that half the internet, half of like Packers fandom freaked out that he used the word us.
I mean,
he's a Packer for life.
Yeah. It's like Brett Favre. Like Brett Favre, say what you want about him and everything hasn't come out. I'm not going to say anything, but he's still a Packer. He still gets to say us. It's if you, I believe this, if you believe in, you know, that stock allows you to own the team in the same way, players that play for the team are part of the team. They remain part
forever,
of the team.
Especially
for their whole
if they're that
lives.
Big and their name is on even the facade like, on inside Lambeau Field and they take you to a Super Bowl and help you win it. Yeah. Packer for life.
Yeah.
Sorry. Part of the gig.
Yeah.
So I love that.
I loved it.
That,
I thought it was great.
I absolutely love it.
I actually think like I think I said this in the Patreon happy hour, and I really wish what he has done. Not what he's saying, not fighting with Jimmy Kimmel, all that kind of crap. And take that and just put that on a little pile of horse shit and, you know,
put that aside.
It out in the back.
Right.
But putting that aside, some of the things that he's done playing for New York, or not playing as it were, but some of the things he's done
being around,
you know, as a
right.
being around and being a teammate and saying the things that he's done and some of the ways that he's acted with his teammates and everything that he's done as a teammate. I really believe that had he done those things in Green Bay 3 years ago, like had he made what I really think he made a pivot, right? Moving to the Jets, he realized he had to pivot the way that he played. Yes, he's this great player, but he's going to have to change some things because it's a new team and you got to make friends and, you know, you go to a new school and like, you're not the man. You're the man in his case, but you're not the man.
But you're new.
Yeah, you're new. You're the new guy. And I really wish, and I know this is hindsight, but and I think even for him, it's like, had he made that pivot that he made this year, we might have won two more Super Bowls. Like, let's be real. Like, it just, the not standing way up top on a pedestal and being part of your teammates and really being as part of one of the team, you know, I just really wish he had embraced that sooner because, you know, it's great that he's doing it now, but I wish we had it earlier.
Yeah, especially when a team pays you $50 million and then you just don't show up. Like, what? Like, that's always going to be weird to me.
Yeah, hey, you have a bunch of young players you've never played with. So,
and,
you know, no, I'm not going to show up to OTAs.
What?
Yeah, why would I? What do I need to be there in June for?
But, of course, day one of OTAs in New York, there he is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's always kind of sat wrong with me. No doubt about it. The other thing I want to kind of showcase here, because, look, I want to give a shout-out to Cody Roadcap. You talk about the Packer blogosphere. Cody does all of our hype videos here that you see, you know, here on the YouTube channel before the game. We always put it out on Twitter. He got it done a little earlier this week, and I'm really happy about it because it's, A, fucking awesome, and, B, we're going to drop it right now as a premiere here on Packer Transplants because it will get you hyped for this game. Let's go.
We also understand what we have in front of us, and it really means nothing unless we take care of business next week.
Trust and believe.
Yeah. Motivated on focus. Got a one on my opponent. Back then, they ain't noticed me. Now they know it's me. I'm the closest. It's my time. Yeah, I put that on Bible. No excuses. Gotta get to the final. Take all of my idols and turn them to rivals. It's all or nothing, man. A trophy is vital. Game time. Bet I'm coming in clutch. No hang time. Man, they can't keep up. The game's on the line. Seconds on the time. Who can't fight? It's gotta be us.
Better under pressure. Go ahead and let it fall on me. I'm destined for it all. You better call on me. They say what doesn't kill you make you stronger. All that pain, it done made me to a monster.
I mean, come on. Damn. Cody Roadcap fucking killing it, man. Just killing it. That is dope as hell. Shout out to Cody. He's done great work for us for the last couple years, and he just continues to get better. And that video just totally hyped me up. Okay, let's get to some YouTube comments, shall we? I guess people lining up to say stuff.
Ryback, 48. Ja got suspended last week's game because he took JB Defense for Dummies playbook. Oh, Defense for Dummies playbook from him, and Reed got my vote for Rookie of the Year. Thank you, Ryback 48, for the generous support.
Thanks, Ryback. You.
Braden LePan, I want someone to love me like Rome loves Bo. Romeo.
Yes, how great was that video after the game? Getting hyped up for Bo Melton. That was dope as hell. Love it.
That was great. Watson, too. Joe Mailman, the yes. NFL has issues, but for a football junkie, the last Sunday of the NFL season is just freaking awesome. Thanks for the super chat. Yeah, and then, you know, it's going to be a desert.
Thanks, Joe.
Maybe a week, God. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks.
We'll see.
Gary P. 1111. Principal products of Wisconsin are cheese, paper, beer, and quarterbacks. Agree. Thanks
pretty
for
much.
The chat. Uncultured Barbarian, this week on Banking on the Beat, Corey eviscerates Bill Michaels for his flip-flopping and defenestrates Bukowski for being Bukowski. Yeah, I have a bone to pick with Tyler Harris.
Oh,
I'm going to be honest
with
you.
Here we go. Here
I saw
here
that
we go.
Fucking retweet of Bukowski. We got to stop this madness. We need a rule or something, goddammit. Why right. this? I do not like the diminishment of our brand. I do not like the dilution. I do not enjoy it. Motherfucker says we need a bartender, thinks that's what the last thing is, and now we're retweeting him like he's some kind of like prophet. Can we please stop the madness? I don't
a
like
diminishment
it
of our brand is a perfect way to put it. That's what that is. It's a diminishment of our brand. We are not, this is not
we
Lockdown
have,
Packers.
We're,
this is Cheese TV.
No. Also, more people watch this show than Locked On fucking Packers. I don't care what Peter Bukowski spews out of his mouth. More people know about this show than that. So, you know, get the fuck out of here with all your I hate that. Tyler did that just to piss me off. I know he did it. I know yeah, he.
Yeah,
I know
he
was
yeah,
literally
he
like, "I'm going to retweet
did.
This," and Banky's going to be
he's,
pissed.
No
about
doubt.
It. And I
well,
was.
Well, we'll have some
and
negotiations
there's no rules.
In the off season. It's all right.
There's
that's
no
what
rules.
I mean,
I don't put rules on people. I don't put rules on people. But it's pretty obvious that retweeting Peter Bukowski is a dilution of Cheesehead TV. Like, you don't have to be the fucking rocket science to understand that. So I'm not happy about
God,
it. I don't
so
like
good.
It.
That's
and
so
I hate it, actually. I hate it. I hate it. Roberto, thanks for Super Chat. Promising future, 9, 87, 11, 13, 18, 80, 88, 85. That's it, Roberto? That's only promising future you're
come
seeing?
On
for
now.
Only those numbers?
Come on.
Let's go. Thanks
what about
Super 50? Chat. Dustin Logan.
Huh?
What about a 50 burger? How about that? How about a 50 burger this weekend? Dustin Logan, with a win, is MLF Coach of the Year, youngest team in the playoffs, winning season, huge turnaround from 2-5. What say you? I mean, here's the problem. He lost to Carolina. So, no, he's not the Coach of the Year.
No, they beat Carolina. They lost to the Giants.
Yeah, but they look like shit
they
against
beat
the fucking
Carolina.
Piece of shit
yes.
quarterback.
If they had gone on a run from the Detroit game on, like if they had taken that Detroit momentum and just won every game since then,
yes.
Yeah, he'd probably be in the conversation. But because they had this horrific dip, especially defensively, like, no, that's not going to happen.
That's how bad they were against
I mean, I
Carolina
get it.
That I thought they lost.
That's how bad they were. Like, you thought they lost. It felt like a loss. I get it. I totally get it.
It did. Why did it do that? It's weird. It definitely felt like a loss. Interesting. It wasn't, though.
Yeah.
John Simatovich, thanks for the super chat. It's January 3rd, 2024, and Jerry Rice still fumbled. True, but, you know, be careful. That's a trademark. William Glass, thanks for the super chat. Just popping in to say, fuck the Bears. Peace. Thanks, William.
Thanks,
appreciate
William.
Super chat.
Right there
Jack,
with you, buddy.
Beers on me at the bar Sunday if we win. Is that for everyone, Jack? Is that stadium view? You're going to be
is
at
that
stadium view?
Jack,
that?
Is that? Whoa, whoa, write this down. Wait, which bar? At the bar?
Yeah,
the
which
bar?
The
bar in Green Bay?
The bar.
The bar? Like
I don't know. Well, he does say the bar Sunday. So maybe
guess,
he means
right?
the bar. Maybe you're right.
Jack, okay, wait, Corey, I got to fly in for this game. Let's go. Come on. Jack's paying. Let's go. I'm in. Let's do it.
Book Gronkowski is the Barry of Packers coverage. I love that, Brandy. Oh, Brandy, you're my favorite.
No.
I love that. I'm tweeting that. Do not tweet that, Nagler. You better retweet it, but do not tweet it. I'm not retweeting it.
That's on you, brother.
Why? You should retweet
it. That's your thing.
You should retweet it. You know what? For Tyler Herrick to make up for his dilution of the brand, he's going to have to retweet my tweet.
He should
after this show.
He should retweet.
And if he doesn't, I'll get into that account. I can 2FA into that shit. I can get into there. I'm gonna retweet the shit out of that. Mimsy, thanks for Super Chat. Jordan hands out targets like Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I love the weapons. Nice. Jordan, the way that Jordan deploys weapons to me feels more like Brett Favre than Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to be honest with you.
Totally agree. Could not agree more.
Jordan, he doesn't care who it is, and that's how Favre was. He does not care. He's like, oh, you're open? Okay, bye. Rodgers, he thought about it, but like it just was more intellectual. But like
Rodgers seemed more precious about it, yes, no doubt.
Yeah, I love that. Jordan, I love that about it. I love it when we have. Yep. I love it when there's seven targets nine.
Today,
targets.
The Packers have like 11 guys have caught passes. I love those graphics when that pops up in the third quarter. 11 different Packers have caught a pass today. I love that shit.
Your Honor, thanks for Super Chat. Looking forward to ending with a winning record, playoff berth, yet a new defensive coordinator. Go Pecco. Yeah, well,
it's happening,
if we get a winning
Honor.
Record and a playoff berth and a playoff win, I don't think we fired Joe Barry, you guys. I don't think it's happening.
It's happening.
Mark Gordon.
It's happening.
Mark Gordon, thanks to the Euros. Didn't Kraft seal off Daniel Hunter at one point?
He did indeed, and that's what I was talking about. Like, he was doing legit work on the edge. I mean, not quite big dog, but big dog-esque. And that's something for a rookie. Like, it was impressive on Sunday night. Really impressive.
Roberto, thanks for Super Chat. Barry's severance package hidden in game ball. Oh, dear. Mimsy, thanks for Super Chat. We need Tyler to mainstream the love MVP agenda. Yeah, Tyler, get on that. Stop diluting the brand and start getting it back.
Stop diluting the brand, Tyler.
Sean Gallagher, I believe this is a pound. I think we've gone over this. Congrats to the LiveX crew for their NYE production. It's no coincidence. 10 has been more vocal at the line and his protection improving. An absolute joy watching Love grow into a leader. Go, Pack, go. Sean, thank you so much for the Super Chat and the kudos.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate it. Porkmaster, one game with postseason on the line. What more could you ask for this year? I got what I wanted, love progression, and meaningful football all season. Thank you, Porkmaster, for being a long-standing fan and the Super Chat. Frank Blasi, remember, Corey, Packers recently made it to an NFC Championship game and fired Patton after. A deep playoff run doesn't mean Joe Barry's job is safe. True.
Thank you, Frank.
The only thing I'm gonna caveat there is – I was about to say Don Lemon. Mike Pettine was not Mike McCarthy's best friend. Okay, so let's just.
Oh, right? That's so good.
Mike McCarthy and so Mike Pettine were not best friends. You know what I'm saying?
Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur let Mike Pettine walk, not Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, and they weren't best friends.
You're thinking of old school.
Neither of them were best friends. Correct. None of them were best friends. None of them.
But you know what? Joe Barry's not Matt's best friend. Matt's best friend in the business is Robert Saleh.
He's in his friend group.
He is in his friend group. No doubt about that. Very true. Okay. Very true.
That's all I'm saying. Rob Grancy, thanks Super Chat. Any chance Barry gets promoted to some made-up in-house position, which frees up the DC spot for a new hire? Yeah, I could see that. Like an assistant head coach. I see that happening.
Jesus. Is it possible? Yes. Do I think it's going to?
It's possible.
Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think that.
It's a possible window for a win-win for MLF. MLF.
Is it a win though?
Ian.
Is it a win
for MLF? Maybe. You don't know what he's got going on. I would make you assistant head coach over firing you.
Well, yeah. Well, you can't fire me from Cheesehead TV. So, good luck with that.
I mean, I could just get one other person to vote with me, and then I could. Then it'd be over for you.
Good luck with that.
Be over for Cheesehead TV.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, like, I would give you if the mob was at my door.
Now
and they
we're gonna
had
get.
Pitchforks,
now we're gonna get.
If the mob was at my
when
door
when the news came out, When the news came out that Hall and Oates were suing each other, the first thing you said was like, I would totally do that to you. I would totally sue your ass.
Nah. I would. But if the mob with the pitchforks came to my door and they were like, we demand Aaron Nagler's fire from this position. Nagler's gotta go. I would be like, you know what, guys? Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but I'm going to make him the assistant head coach, and then I'm going to get a different blogger, okay?
Right, yep.
It'll work. Everything will work out.
It's an elegant solution, if you will. Yeah, I get it.
Save face. Hey, Ian, thanks for Super Chat. Hey, brothers, you know I have mad love for Cheesehead TV. Thanks for all you do, Nags and Corey. There is no doubt the Packers are winning this weekend. Agree, yes or yes? Go, Pack, go. Thanks, Ian, for the Super Chat. Appreciate
Ian,
the support, buddy.
You are the man. You're the absolute fucking man. Love you, Ian.
Ian's like, everybody's like, no way, Corey.
Ian's like, we are winning.
Guys. I'm just joking. Go, Pack. Who's playing better, Valentine or Ballantyne? That's a great question.
Well, it's easy to say Ballantyne because he had a couple of pass breakups against Justin Jefferson on Sunday night, and that's going to be pretty significant, right? But I think both of them are fine in their roles, what they're asked to do in a lot of these zone schemes that Barry runs when they're in there. I love Valentyne, though, man. I love his energy. I love his attitude. Like, I love that he's getting all this experience his rookie year. For a seventh-round pick who, you know, looked good this summer, but you didn't expect him to play as much as he has. I absolutely love him. I think he's got a higher ceiling. But right now, I think Ballantyne's been a little more consistent. That would be my kind of 30,000-foot view of it. But again, I think Valentine has much higher upside.
Interesting. PacFan39, if QB1 is this good, Goody ain't going anywhere. Thanks for Super Chat.
Correct.
I mean, Goody wasn't going anywhere anyway. But, yeah.
Correct. Also correct.
Kevin McConville. Watching American Psychopath tonight in honor of my Paul Allen hatred, Skola Lowell. Might lose my voice when I'm at Will's Northwoods on Sunday in Cho. Go, Pack, go.
Oh, thanks, Kevin, enjoy Will's Northwoods. That is such a great place, man. That vibe is dope. Corey and I were there the night before the NFC Championship game back in 2010. That is the spot in Chicago, man. That just enjoy the hell out of it. That is so great.
Actually, a little fun point. Every year, I don't know if we did it this year, but Will's sponsors the Packers draft guide, and people that go to Will's get a discounted draft guide.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Has that happened?
That spot
that this year
is the best.
That's just...
That was a couple years ago.
Scott.
It did happen.
Scott Britton. Yeah, it happened. I wasn't dreaming. Scott Britton, thanks for Super Chat. Saddened by some stuff from 4 and 12, but Love, who has dealt with some personal tragedy, really seems like a good dude. Thanks for the Super Chat.
I agree, Scott, but who knows what 10-plus years in Green Bay as the man, the myth, the legend of being a Packers quarterback might end up sewing into the guy. I mean, look,
the difference,
can we just treat Jordan Love like a human being rather than a god? Because, like, treating Favre and Rodgers like gods has certainly seemingly sent them off on their own paths, which, let Jordan Love be a dude.
Well, I think it's being treated like a god and then choosing to have sycophants around you, right? And one decision is the exterior world and the other decision is the interior world you choose to put around you.
And to anybody who doesn't know what Scott's alluding to there, there is actually a article on Cheesehead TV from, I don't think, 2 years ago, detailing the personal tragedy that Jordan went through with his father. If you don't know, it might be a good read to kind of brush up and understand parts of Jordan's background and things that he's gone through, because it is not insignificant. I don't want to get into it here, but the kid has been through a lot, no doubt about it.
I would love... I don't know why I'm bringing this up right now, but my one complaint about Jordan's press conferences that I would love to help
is
like getting rid of the word It just,
you and everybody on YouTube. I went on a rant about this on Packers Daily a couple weeks ago.
He doesn't need it. It's just is one of those things where you just don't.
I get
need it.
Everybody starts that way. Everybody in landscape,
right.
You start that way. Go back and watch Rodgers, his first year as a starter.
No, I'm not comparing him. I'm just saying, like,
whatever. No, I'm just like that happens, right? You start there.
100%.
You're searching for phrases. You're searching for answers and you say, and he does it. Yep. You're right. It happens a lot. It'll go. It'll disappear. He'll get some media training.
I can't tell you how many people I have taught to get rid of the word just normal human beings that, you know, like LiveX, especially when we're doing videos right. where, and it's not yep. hard. It's really a self-awareness thing. And he's hugely self-aware in the press conferences. So it's just one of those things to add, yep. but add that to the checklist. Levi Myers.
It's like everything you're working on. You'll get there.
Yep. 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 Levi Myers, thanks for Super Chat. I'd laugh tears of joy if we knocked the Lions out of the playoffs this year.
Oh, my God. That would be brilliant. That would be absolutely. If we went back to Detroit, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They get the sixth seed.
Oh, if we knocked them out in Detroit. The playoffs. I got you. Playoffs. I was like, I think they're in the playoffs. Okay, got you.
I think they're bad news, Levi. I think they're in the playoffs. But yes,
I got you. Knocked them out of them.
Poetic. Yeah. How poetic would it be? From last
okay, but what
year
would you?
Ra-
but let's be real, let's though. Go. Let's be real, okay? Let's if I go. Give you two scenarios, right? If I give you right. one scenario where we get in the playoffs, beat the Cowboys, and then we beat the 49ers, or we beat the Cowboys and then we beat the Lions, what's better?
Well, obviously, beating the 49ers, like, because they're the best team in the
you know NFC. What? You know it's what like they should? You know what they should do? You know what they should do in the playoffs? A new rule. If you beat if you beat a higher seed team, you should take their seeding.
That would be interesting. That would be very cool. I like
then,
the way it is.
If we beat
the lowest seed,
if playing we beat
the
Cowboys
seeds, all the way to the
But here's the cool thing. Right. If we beat the Cowboys and then we beat the Niners, then the NFC Championship game would be at Lambeau.
Well, there is a chance, there is a very minuscule chance that the NFC Championship game could be in Green Bay if the Packers win and become the sixth seed.
We have to get the sixth seed. Yeah, we have to get
the sixth
seed.
We have to get the sixth seed because then the Rams would be the seventh seed and they're sitting all of their starters against the 49ers here in week 18. Well, and the 49ers are sitting their quarterback. So, what's his name? The former Jet is going to be the starter at quarterback. But, so the Rams could go on a mini run, and the Packers could go on a mini run and then meet at Lambeau Field for the NFC Championship game. Seventh seed going to the sixth seed.
That's
be the
not
first
happening.
Time it's ever happened. It's not happening. Exactly. It's not happening. But it could happen, Banky. It could happen.
I just feel, okay, maybe not in the first round, but I feel like in the second round, if you beat the seed, you should just take the seed. That'd be a cool rule.
That'd be cool.
I would like it.
It's not going to happen anytime soon, but it'd be cool.
I understand. I just would like it, okay? Just let me dream. Don't kill my dreams. You're really good at it.
Do your dream, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Dream your dream.
You know what I'm saying? Just brainstorming here. Just coming up with a thing.
If there's a dream
you gotta
killer
take a
in
fucking
this group,
dagger, and you got to punch the balloon.
End, sir.
Really? Yeah, Overshadow really. Sean, thanks for the super chat. I ain't saying. I'm just saying. Exactly. Marshall Duke,
I
thanks
totally
for Super
agree,
Chat.
Overshadow.
Jaden is what Amari Rodgers was supposed to be. You're not wrong.
Kind of.
Skylar Bertram, I'm excited to see just how creative LaFleur will get with his young offensive weapons next year and a year of familiarity with them. Thanks, Skylar, for the Super
Could
Chat.
Could not agree more. Yes. The idea of having a full offseason with this group, are you fucking kidding me? Come on. And the idea that you get the whole offseason to get healthy, obviously. But, man, the way it hasn't mattered, that's what blows my mind. Remember a couple years ago when it was like, oh, MVS is down and the whole offense just grinds to a halt? Like, it doesn't matter who's out. It doesn't. They were literally like Bo Melton on Sunday and moving the ball and scoring points. Like, it's
true.
It's super impressive. And, yes, Skylar, to your point, I like roll on 2024 because this offense, provided everyone comes back ready to roll, it's set to be a juggernaut, no doubt.
I just think, we need potentially like some right tackle help, but yeah, I agree.
No, left tackle, left tackle. Right tackle's good. Zach Tom's good.
Both. Well, Zach Tom.
No, Zach Tom is good, man. Well, it's left tackle. Left tackle is where the concern is.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, Walker's played.
Marshall Duke. He has, and he's actually one of the most ascending players I feel like
I would say as, like, he has like, a lot earlier when you're talking.
It's true.
When you're talking about Tucker Kraft being the most improved, I'd say Walker's the second most improved. I mean, considering where he was,
and he's got a lot of
when
upside.
He came in
that's
against
was,
Atlanta.
I think I meant
yes. Agree.
I was in the Runyon Ryan, so sorry, I was in the wrong
yeah.
position.
You're talking guard.
Marshall Duke. Yeah, guard. Marshall Duke, thanks to Super Chat. Who has been our best DC since Fritz Schirmer? Yeah, that's it. You did it.
Honestly, Dom Capers.
Dom Capers.
Like, it's not even, I don't think that's a question. Like, Dom, his first 2 or 3 years, it's 100% Dom. No doubt.
For sure. John Moore, hire the Viking security team of their stupid horn as D coordinator. I couldn't get through them on Sunday to hack the horn.
Well played, John. Well played. We appreciate the attempt, though.
Also, is anybody mentioning how cringe was that Kirk Cousins shirt off?
Oh my God. What on earth was that?
Who greenlighted that?
What on earth?
Who was like,
did they?
You know what?
Did he go?
You know what we need? We need Kirk Cousins shirtless. That's what we need in life.
Like, you can talk about roll out the barrel and how hokey that might be at Lambeau, whatever.
That was so cringe.
If you're an opposing fan, you probably do. But at least we don't have our injured quarterback up there shirtless for the entire nation to look at. What on earth was that? You
talk
about,
weird.
Again, the Vikings.
Very cringe.
There's nothing about that team that is anywhere near, like, lovable or endearing. It's all cringe. It's all plastic. It's all nonsense. They're the Vikings. That's who they are. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
I saw that later. I didn't see that in the game. I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, this was a thing?
Right.
Like, who thought this was a good idea?
Oh, yes, sir. It was a
Somebody.
Thing. No doubt.
Ryback 48, thanks for Super Chat. Yeah. Joe Barry would screw up being the water boy. A lot of Joe Barry love on this chat. Tyrone, is there any scenario the Packers don't draft a running back? Who's your favorite running back prospect? What round would Goot draft one in?
That is a great question. Tyrone, I don't have a look-see yet.
He's definitely drafting
any of the positions.
There's no way he doesn't draft.
But there is zero doubt in my mind a running back or maybe even two will be drafted in this draft on day three. I would be shocked if Goody pulls the trigger in round one, two, or three. However, certainly didn't see AJ Dillon coming back in the day when he drafted him in the second round. So never say never, but I would be very surprised if they don't draft a running back and that running back and or two of them don't happen in day three. Like, I think there's zero doubt that that happens.
Ian, everyone, please become a Patreon subscriber for Cheesehead TV. Corey called it earlier this year. Packers are going all the way. By the way, folks in Wisconsin should have their fridge packed with Carry the G. Ian.
Come on,
you know,
Ian.
If I didn't know any better, I would think that you were me. I'm like, I would think that, you know, like, I would think like you're shadowing me. I love it. Thank
it's
you for the super chat.
Brother
Appreciate
from
it.
Another mother. I like it.
Yep.
I like it.
Carl Van Beckham, at least Jordan isn't using like and you know. True. I don't like the ums.
Truly.
Ian, thanks for Super Chat. Nags and Corey, will you please proclaim the Packers are beating the Bears? Go Pack Go. Of course they're beating the Bears.
Of course the Packers are beating the Bears. Did you not hear me earlier? The Bears haven't won in Lambeau Field since 2015. That ain't changing on Sunday. Packers are beating the Bears.
Peter Lohr, thanks for Super Chat. Tell me about Lynn Dickey's 1983 year. Oh, dear.
Peter, that was a great, great year. I'm going to do a separate video on it.
You were seven. No, what were you?
I was like nine. I was 10 years old. It was glorious. Lynn Dickey was the man. I was outside in my Lynn Dickey jersey.
Is that the year that he was
pretending to be Lynn Dickey?
Is that the year that he was offensive player of the week?
No.
One time?
Oh, actually, it might have been. It might have been.
But
he was in the MVP
John Moore.
Conversation one year.
What?
True story.
That's crazy.
True story.
Down.
He got votes for MVP.
That's all you got, Heath Soder, really? Really? That's all you got for me?
John he's
Moore.
The, you know, the Jordan Love thing. He's all right.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware. Saw Kirk walking back from the horn, yelled, put a shirt on, you freak. Thanks. Super chat. Most hated Minnesotan. That cringe-ass Cousins incident before the game was ridiculous, and the worst part about it was people thought it was cool. I live amongst idiots. Nah, that's true.
True. That's most true. Hated. You've never said anything more true in your life. Corey, by the way, in 83, Dickey threw for more yards than anyone in the history of the Packers. That was only broken by Aaron Rodgers in 2011. Like, that dude could
see. No one cares. No one cares.
I'm more than nobody. I am someone.
No one cares.
I care.
You're no one.
I care.
You're not no one. And you're not nobody, but you're no one.
So did the person who asked the question. Wanted to know about Dickey's 83 season.
There you go. That's nice. Didn't he have, like, didn't he throw to, like, Sterling Sharp or something?
No, Sterling Sharp wasn't on the scene. What are you talking about?
James Lofton.
Yes, James Lofton.
James Lofton.
Correct.
Okay, well, if you got James Lofton, who's wide fucking
open. You're right. He was throwing to Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings. Correct. you're correct.
No, sorry. He was throwing to a guy who's literally wide open all the time.
In the Hall of Fame.
It's really hard. Yeah, it's really hard. So hard to throw to one of the greatest wide receivers of all time.
So Aaron Rodgers gets discounted for throwing to Davante Adams, right?
No, you but know, I was living during that time. No one
you were living
that.
Then. You were just young.
Nah, barely.
Oh God,
I was really young. Right. I was like seven.
I love how this is a long play. This is a long play of telling me how old I am. That's what I like. That's what I appreciate.
I love how everything I say, it's like I'm talking shit about you. I literally told you I would not fire you and I would make
you
the assistant
you
head coach.
You just said I was like a kid. I couldn't possibly remember that. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm 10 years old. I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the formation of my Packers fandom.
I stuck up for you. I would make you my assistant head coach. I wouldn't fire you. Like, give me some props, for fuck's sake.
That's sticking up for me. Got it. Understood.
John Simatovich, thanks for the super chat. Cody Schrader from Mizzou would be a nice running back in Green Bay. I don't know who that is, but I'm gonna
totally agree, John. Totally agree.
I agree, John. Porkmaster, hope Matt has the guys firing on all cylinders. If we play slow like last year's final game, I will lose my damn mind. Me too, Porkmaster.
All I know is if, like, you know, Friday we get an alert that they have signed Alan Lazard. Just know, because he's been cut from the Jets in this world. Just know, Alan Lazard's going to have an end around on a fourth and got to have it in their own end.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that would be coming.
That wouldn't be a bad pickup, actually. If we sign Alan Lazard, we got a 40 burger.
Stop. He's been a healthy scratch
right
for
now.
The Jets for like half the season.
Alan Lazard, no. 40
no.
burger. 40 burger.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
the blocking,
not.
Aaron Jones with a 200 yards. The blocking that we're going to see.
That's
Aaron
the upside.
Jones, 200
That's
yards.
The upside.
The upside on that. That's all we
okay,
got. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody, for the support. Appreciate it.
And thank you to all our Patreon members. You guys, I cannot tell you. It's amazing watching the community grow throughout the course of this entire season. Corey and I were kind of looking at some numbers earlier this week. Man, you guys are amazing. We cannot thank you enough. Love talking to you all each and every week on the Happy Hour, as well as the Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You folks, another community that just continues to grow. Thank you so much for the support. We cannot tell you how much it means to us, for the brand, for everything we're doing at Cheesehead TV. Really, especially in a year where we kind of made this an actual real job. It's kind of weird, but you guys make it work. Thank you so much. You got anything else for the fine folks out there, Corey?
No, everybody retweet my Bukowski tweet. Please, thank you.
Retweet it, folks. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and... And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.